Bros.
Football.
Bros.
Touchdown!
Hello, it's football season.
Fantasy football.
Give me a hell yeah!
This is fantasy.
Can the white guys use the term fan?
Hey! That ball in the rear with a lot of playoff lives on the line. You had the Ravens, you had the Browns, you had twists and turns, you had a little bit of everything. I'm Keith Irizarry. You know Alex Hardy and John Salas. What's up, fam?
Keith Irizarry. Monday Night Football was thrilling. I think it would have been more compelling for me if I hadn't already lost my playoff matchups by, let's call it an hour into the games on Sunday. What's going on, John Salas?
You know what? It's very mixed emotions here. I lost in my first round of the fantasy playoffs, so I am out. But the good thing is I made it here when the intro music was playing from my poop. I pulled a Lamar Jackson. I'm here. I feel great. And I'm with you guys, so I can't complain.
If he had cramps. He needed an IV. He had cramps. I don't know.
He needed cramps. Oh,
yeah. Okay.
No. He had cramps. It was an IV. I don't understand why your brain always has to go into the gutter.
Twitter told me he had Taco Bell in the middle of the game, and that's what happened.
Well, all right. My only reasoning for it is because, remember, our number two Cleveland fan, OBJ, probably was in there waiting for him.
Oh, no.
So that's
oh,
it.
Oh, no.
Callback. That's what we say. It's a callback. All right. Well, anyway, Lamar Jackson ends up dominating the game. Coming back, had 163 passing yards, a touchdown, also ran for 124 yards, a new record on Monday Night Football for quarterbacks, had a pair of touchdowns as well. This was a high-scoring affair that a lot of people actually took the under in. It went well over and had a lot of fantasy implications.
Yeah, the Ravens and the Browns both spreading out the love. Six touchdowns to four different running backs between the two teams. That's what you like to see as fantasy football owners. So hopefully your Browns and Ravens helped you pull through. But like I said in the beginning, not necessarily the best weekend for some of the other games that we saw on Sunday.
All right, so let's move on from Monday Night Football into some of the headlines from this past weekend. And there were a bunch. And again, a lot of playoff lives were on the line. And Derrick Henry bounced back. Quite the upcoming schedule as well for the remainder of the season. Had 215 rushing yards, two touchdowns. I want to throw this out to you guys really fast because David Montgomery, who's dominated over the last 3 weeks, and we've talked about him on this podcast a lot, he ran against the Packers, the Lions, and the Texans. Guess who Derrick Henry has over the next 3 weeks? Lions, Packers, and Texans.
Oh, my.
Derrick Henry in store for some big things. You had Derrick Henry. You had Jalen Hurts and Miles Sanders dominating. And then also, Alex, your boy, Jonathan Taylor, is now the lead dog in Indy.
Yeah, back in the saddle, at least until Frank Wright decides there's another hot hand for him to go to. But listen, 20 carries, 150 yards, and two TDs over his last three games. Taylor's averaging 18 carries, 110 rushing yards, and at least a total touchdown per game. Listen, this is a guy who's worked up his reps, and as long as he continues to be the guy for Indy behind that offensive line and the way that defense is playing, the Colts seem to be exactly the team you want to be having fantasy shares of moving forward into the next round of the playoffs.
Alex, you took Taylor. I'm glad he's finally getting his chance to shine. I'm going to go over to Philly. Jalen Hurts and Miles Sanders. Look what happens with Miles Sanders when apparently Carson Wentz is not even close to being on the field. He had 18 carries for 106 yards. And then Jalen Hurts throwing for 167 yards, had a touchdown. Remember, this is against the top, one of the top defenses in the league, in the New Orleans Saints. And Jalen Hurts was the eighth highest scoring quarterback in fantasy on Sunday. So I think Carson Wentz is no longer seeing the field the rest of the season. Am I correct?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't foresee. I mean, unless there's some sort of injury, I don't foresee Wentz out there again.
No, Wentz is done. Doug Peterson pretty much told us yesterday, considering how well the team rallied around Jalen Hurts. And I have to eat crow because Miles Sanders is one of those guys that picked up that long touchdown. It was his third touchdown longer than 70 yards, which begs the question, how come Miles Sanders hasn't had more than 20 carries since week two?
It really makes no sense.
I mean, Jalen Hurts hopefully puts the ball in Miles Sanders' hands moving forward. And I apologize to our listeners because I had no read on Miles Sanders clearly. I mean, had he not busted out for that long TD, we're looking at 13 carries, 60 yards, and a touchdown with those four catches. So obviously adding that 14 points off that big TD run really made Miles Sanders a matchup winner for week 14.
Four more positive headlines. Mitchell Trubisky is the real deal. Well, no, he's not, but he's playing well right now. And I just
That's old news, Keith. You told us that a week ago, right?
Yeah. Hey, listen, you know, pat myself on the back. I was right about that, right about David Montgomery. Alex, you've been right about Travis Kelce for as long as we've been doing this podcast.
I don't want credit for that. Number one tight end, still number one tight end. All right.
You're welcome, guys. Very intelligent person. And you know what? John Salas, who is not that intelligent, plays one on TV, though, or on the radio. Brandon Ayuk. You and I, John, we talked about Brandon Ayuk at the beginning of the season as maybe a potential star in the making. We both backed off it a little bit, but you've been on this over the last couple weeks, and he's coming up big.
So here's the thing, real quick. The past five games Brandon Ayuk has played in, listen to this, 17 points, 23 points, 19 points, 20 points, and 21 points. He's facing Dallas this week. No Deebo Samuel, no George Kittle, I'm going to assume, until at least week 16 or 17. So who is Nick Mullins going to throw the ball to? It's Brandon Ayuk. And what he did last week, he had 16 targets, caught 10 of them for 119 yards, and that was with Deebo Samuel still playing before he got hurt. So guess what? That's only going to go up. And Brandon Ayuk, we will see you in the finals if you have him on your fantasy.
Just to play devil's advocate, Deebo Samuel was injured on the very first play against Washington. So I feel that even though their defense may not be that good, Dallas at least has a full week to prepare for Brandon Ayuk, whereas Washington was caught completely off guard because it was literally the first play of the game that the Niners lost Deebo.
All right, let's finish up the headlines with two bad ones. Steelers stinking it up. Bengals cannot be trusted. Hashtag shocker. Deontay Johnson saw just 49% of the snaps as a Steelers wide receiver against Buffalo. Gio Bernard, who was a sexy play last week for a lot of people, not here on this podcast, saw just 17 of the 72 offensive snaps this past week for Cincy.
Oh, yeah, I'm thrilled to talk about the Bengals. No. I'll save that for John Salas because he seems so eager to do so. But, hey, Deontay Johnson managed four catches and 40 yards, all in the second half. This guy got benched because on the opening drive of Sunday Night Football against Buffalo, Ben Roethlisberger peppered Deontay four times, and he had two drops. I'm talking wide open. He had blockers downfield. Deontay Johnson could have been a Week 14 matchup winner for you, but instead, this guy gets benched. So the snap, the 49% snap percentage doesn't scare me. I mean, the fact of the matter is the guy sat half the game and was still targeted seven times. The only problem is the Steelers are leading the league in drops, and Deontay Johnson is public enemy number one.
So you guys said I was so excited to talk about the Bengals, and you're right, because the only reason why I'm excited is to be the bad guy here and say, if you have Bengals in your lineup, you're probably not in the playoffs. And if you are in the playoffs and you have Bengals on your bench, drop them, get rid of them. There's someone there, can't be trusted. I am all out on the Cincinnati Bengals.
Hit you with my stat of the week. Austin Eckler, 19.1 PPR points this week at 15 rushes, 79 yards. Take a look at the last three games, averaging over 15 PPR points. And in five games that Eckler has started and finished with Justin Herbert under helm, he's averaging 10 targets per game. A bonus stat, give courtesy to Pro Football Reference, Jonathan Taylor, Alex, your boy. In the first nine games of the season, two broken tackles, 151 yards after contact. The last three games, five broken tackles, 153 yards after contact. Dive into injuries now, and there are some big names. Deebo Samuel out for the rest of the regular season with the hamstring. One of the reasons why we talk about Ayuk. Matthew Stafford, up in the air, whether he'll play week 15. Drew Brees likely out as well. And John Rojo is going to have surgery on his pinky finger today, having pins put in it. His status is up in the air.
So this is surprising news about Rojo, and it makes And it should be concerning for fantasy owners because this is the same procedure that Chris Godwin had a couple weeks ago, and it caused him to miss one game. So it kind of seems like Rojo's trending towards not playing, which is going to make a Leonard Fournette, LeSean McCoy backfield. So what are we – we'll talk about a throwback here, like, you know. So Rojo really has to be concerned here, and especially if he's what your RB1 or RB2 and you've been full sending him every week, I'm praying for you.
We're going to cover this in waivers, but let's say you dropped Leonard Fournette because he was a damn healthy scratch a week ago. Is he really going to emerge as the lead dog, or is this Shady McCoy's backfield if Rojo really is hurt? Or frankly, maybe they just let Tom Brady throw the ball 60 times like he's Ben Roethlisberger.
Risk it, biscuit, all that kind of stuff, right? Very well could be. Other injuries, James Conner has a quad issue going on. Raheem Mostert had an MRI in his ankle that he had previously strained. We'll get into Jeff Wilson Jr. as well. This Steelers offense, and I know we hearken back to the Steelers offense, any trust in James Conner, even if he is on the field?
No, I mean, what's the ceiling when I just made the joke about the Steelers, like they're going to run the football when it's the last possible last-ditch effort to do so? They'd rather mix in Benny Snell than try to force anything with James Conner. And even when teams are trying to prepare, even when teams know they're going to throw the football, the Steelers can still do it to them. So why all of a sudden the drastic shift in their offensive play calling? So, I mean, have you relied on James Conner to be a league winner for you? No, it's just his safe floor probably is gone at this point.
The ceiling is definitely the roof. All right, we got a brand new segment for you. Will you take this rose? So I don't watch The Bachelor, but apparently that bachelorette, she found love right away. She left the show. A new bachelorette was on the show. They just announced some new bachelor as well. All the world is a craze. Last night, people were tweeting about it like crazy. I didn't understand why they weren't watching the Browns and the Ravens, but here we go.
Oh, it was Lamar Jackson all over again.
No wonder why Lamar had to leave, because he was trying to go accept that rose.
Or maybe he needed to see the end of the episode.
That's what's wrong with this world. Lamar probably has spoilers on his phone, and so he had to leave mid-game because he knew he was just going to come out, win the game anyway with the minute left, whatever. Just had to find out the final rose.
I like your conspiracy. I like this. Well, anyway, we're going to try to play a little bachelor right here, or bachelorette, whatever you want to call it. We're going to find a perfect match for you and your playoff squad this week. So basically, I'm going to ask both you guys, would you accept this rose from a player, which means would you actually want them in your starting lineup, okay? And hopefully this can help some people out there as they prepare for the semifinals of their playoff run. Cam Akers up against the Jets. John, you first.
100%. Cam, give me every rose that you have available. He's facing the Jets. The last 2 weeks, he's had 50 rushes, 243 yards, and a touchdown. Jets allowing the 10th most fantasy points to running backs. Cam, I'll accept your rose.
My rose will be for another rookie running back with a great matchup, J.K. Dobbins and the Baltimore Ravens. I understand the short week. They are going to Jacksonville, who's allowed the 5th most points to fantasy running backs, but this is a guy that's taken over the lead role. Yes, he may be vultured by Lamar Jackson and Gus Edwards, the two of them combining for 3 touchdowns, but J.K. Dobbins still had his, and in the last 2 weeks, 24 carries, 125 rushing yards, and 2 TDs, or I guess, if you're Derrick Henry, about 15 minutes of football.
I would rank Akers a little bit higher than Dobbins, but I like taking the rose from both of them. Chase Claypool versus the Cincinnati Bengals, who actually have been pretty stingy against wide receivers this season. Alex.
The last time around, 10 targets, 4 catches, 56 yards, and 2 TDs. The Bengals, look, made life difficult for Chase Claypool, but had absolutely no answers for the 6'4", 240-pound man in the red zone. Let's see the Steelers move the football down the field. But like I said before, I'm hesitant to give the rose. Can I give a couple petals to Chase Claypool and a couple more to Deontay Johnson? Both are going to be in my starting lineups over Juju Smith-Schuster this week.
I'm going to have to walk away from Chase Claypool. I'm looking at his last 2 weeks, only 5 catches and about 55 yards. And the way the Steelers offense has been playing, no, sir.
Brandon Ayuk is next on the list. Will you accept Brandon's rose, John?
We already talked about Brandon Ayuk in depth, so I'm going to make this quick. 100%. give me your rose.
Alex, accepting the rose?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm a little jaded with Nick Mullins' performance. I don't know how he's going to end up being the starting quarterback, but there are virtually no other receiving options.
I am also accepting the rose. T.Y. Hilton has come on like gangbusters as of late, and going up against the Houston Texans, who have given up the eighth most points to wide receivers. Alex, you're up. Will you accept T.Y.'s rose?
I will not accept the rose. T.Y. Hilton has been touchdown dependent. I just have more faith in the rushing attack, and I am a little biased. I do like me some Jonathan Taylor, but that's the identity the Colts want to stick to as they close the regular season and prepare for the real life playoffs.
I am 100% Alex taking this rose from T.Y. Hilton. Over the past three games, 277 receiving yards, 17 catches. I'm looking at 81 yards, 110 yards, 86 yards. And oh yeah, he also has four touchdowns along that span. They're playing the Houston Texans, and they are known to get torched. And I expect T.Y. Hilton to be in that end zone a couple times.
With John, I will be the tiebreaker. I will accept the rose from T.Y. Hilton. J.D. McKissic was someone we discussed as potentially a breakout player last week. He did well, ran the ball 11 times, now gets the Seahawks.
I think the entire fantasy industry, ourselves included, had J.D. McKissic and a PPR tattooed on our backs coming into week 14. I was surprised he had double-digit carries last week going up against Seattle. Their defense has improved, but still clearly issues with their secondary. And J.D. McKissic is still going to be peppered early and often, but with the return of Antonio Gibson, I'm not going to accept that rose.
Yeah, the Antonio Gibson coming back has me a little bit worried. I mean, he's put up numbers with him there, but Gibson's the man in Washington. I will not accept the rose from McKissic.
All right, last bachelor to step up. You guys have one rose left. You can give it or not give it. Nelson Aguilar plays the Chargers on Thursday Night Football.
I'm going to take that rose from Nelson Aguilar. The last time they played the Chargers, though, he only had two catches, 55 yards, and a touchdown. But his numbers have gone up, and it seems like Derek Carr loves this man. So I'm going to continue to ride with Nelson Aguilar. Darren Waller is standing next to me telling me I should accept this rose from Aguilar, so I will.
I'll do whatever Darren Waller tells me to do, considering, you know, fantasy football's number two tight end. I'm with you. The Raiders' offense hasn't been the most fun to watch over the last few weeks, but Nelson Aguilar's, outside of Darren Waller's, been the most consistent player for that offense. And when they're throwing over the top, it's more likely going to Aguilar rather than Ruggs. I think with all the attention that Ruggs drags away from the rest of the Raiders' receiving core, Nelson Aguilar is going to have himself at least one big play. But if he doesn't end up in the end zone, it could be a dud of a performance. So if you've got a roster full of high floor type players, Aguilar could be a week 15 winner for you.
You know, Aguilar's got the volume going, but I'm going to go under the assumption that if you're in your semifinals, you have something better than Nelson on your roster. I'm not going to accept the rose. Let's quickly talk about Thursday Night Football. You got the Chargers and you've got the Raiders. Last week, we wondered if Justin Herbert would bounce back. I would say that he moderately bounce back, threw the ball 44 times, had two touchdowns, 243 yards. What are you guys looking at for Thursday night?
All right. So when I'm looking at this Raiders Chargers game, you know, there's Herbert, Eckler, Allen. Here's the one question mark, and it's Josh Jacobs. Yes, you know, all last week we're wondering if he's going to play, and then he trolls us about an hour before kickoff saying, I'm not playing. He's already been inconsistent, and now with a short week, yes. I mean, he torched the Chargers for 13 points, 65 rushing yards, and a touchdown. But he's the one guy I'm keeping an eye out. And assuming he's RB1 and he's been your RB1 the whole season, he's going to be my main concern, especially in a short week. I don't trust that ankle. And knowing John Gruden, Devontae Booker, or Rashard could just pop in at any moment and vulture any share of touchdowns that Josh Jacobs can get.
I'll just tell you right now, Jalen Richard only factors in when the Raiders go down two scores. Josh Jacobs on the short week is definitely concerning. That being said, the Raiders need wins. They just watched the Baltimore Ravens win on Monday Night Football, so they need to funnel the ball through Josh Jacobs if they want to win. And you already mentioned the Chargers. Outside of Herbert, Allen, and Austin Eckler, is there anybody on that roster worth starting, Keith?
No. And here's the deal about Josh Jacobs. I just want to double back to Jacobs because that was a game script thing. I don't think it was an injury thing. I think Josh Jacobs actually is as healthy as he's going to be going forward. They were down big against Indy. That's when Booker and Richard come in the game. I don't believe that they're going to get down big to the LA Chargers. I think this is a close game throughout. Potentially even the Raiders get up a little bit early on and want to salt it away. So Josh Jacobs, don't be afraid. He will be fine. He should be in your lineups and you should love him.
And it's worth noting, Keith, that even if the Chargers do build a big lead, they're going to blow it.
Yeah, them and the Atlanta Falcons are essentially the same team.
Yeah, how about a bizarro matchup where the Falcons and the Chargers are basically the Spider-Man meme pointing at each other, and of all things, the Chargers win on a game-winning field goal. Like, the Money Badger actually cashed in on his trademark for once. Like, listen, it was far from the most compelling fantasy matchup of Week 14. I just thought it was, like, definitely one of the stranger box scores you'll ever see.
Spider-Man meme. All right. Quickly, let's dive on to the waiver wire. A lot of people we've already talked about. Just want to run through some names, let people know that they might still be out there. Jalen Hurts is very available, and he just, you know, did his thing against New Orleans. We'll see if he can replicate it again. Chad Hansen at Indy. Tyron Johnson at Vegas. That's a Thursday night game. Russell Gage against Tampa. And some of the other names that we've talked about throughout the 14 weeks or so. Tim Patrick, Philip Lindsay, Jeff Wilson Jr., Alex, your boy Irv Smith Jr., and then even Lynn Bowden as well. These are guys that are available.
I just want to let you know that I'm Chad Hansen, and this is Dateline NBC.
Why don't you have a seat there and get comfortable for that?
I know normally we're telling everybody, hey, like, this is who we got to get on the waivers. This is who we like. I'm going to tell you someone this week that I don't like, and don't be fooled. Philip Lindsay, he will definitely be on your waiver wire. He's only about 44% rostered. This man has not put up double-digit fantasy points since week 8. Melvin Gordon is definitely the RB1 there. So if you're really in a bind, look elsewhere. Do not be fooled with Philip Lindsay and what he can do, because he hasn't done it and he won't do it.
All right, so John, if you're not in on Lindsay, that means that you're not worried about the dinged up shoulder or anything else for Melvin Gordon.
Melvin Gordon, banged up shoulder or not, Philip Lindsay still hasn't shown he can do anything. So as long as Melvin Gordon can get on the field, I am okay with starting him. The only thing is that what worries me is that he did have a court case for his DUI, and I know Alex has a little bit more on that.
Well, last year, Kareem Jackson had a DUI, and not all cases are the same. But the NFL handed down their 2-game suspension for Jackson the day after he was in court. And it's just worth monitoring that the NFL may be waiting for their own punishment as soon as Melvin Gordon has his day in court. So if you were planning on Melvin Gordon, the shoulder injury is a concern. But beyond that, the NFL could rule him ineligible for week 15.
All right, so Lynn Bowden Jr. over out Miami last week, 7 receptions, 82 yards. And if some of these guys in Miami, remember, Devontae Parker may not play this week. So Lynn Bowden could be a guy that's going to be on your radar coming into waivers. What do you guys think? Are you guys going to take any shot on him?
I'm considering it. I don't know if he's worth a waiver wire pickup today, but if he's there by the time we talk again Friday, I may be more convinced. Brian Flores called it a slight hamstring strain for Devontae Parker. I mean, guys, what the hell am I supposed to do with that, honestly? That being said, what Lynn Bowden's potential for me is what he can do in the ground game, because with Tua Tagovailoa under center, I mean, what percentage of Tua's 150 passing yards is going to go to Lynn Bowden? Mike Gesicki might not be available in waivers, but he's my DFS play for week 15.
All right, guys, remember, download the Fantasy Football Podcast. We're available in the iTunes Store, Spotify, wherever else you get your podcasts. I cannot believe some of us are moving on into the semifinals and some are just watching from a distance.
Some, you mean only Alex is making it. You and I are watching from the windows, baby.
All right, for Alex, John, I am Keith. Good luck, everybody. If you're playing people on Thursday, we will talk to you on Friday. Later.
Coming for you, Gronk.
Bye.